Blog Talk Radio.
This is Lauren Litton, host of Quick Take Ohio, a pre-recorded podcast highlighting Ohio's juvenile justice news. In the past few years, Ohio has increasingly been held out as a state to watch and for other states to model after when it comes to state-level juvenile justice reform. The most recent addition to this coverage is Bring Youth Home, Building on Ohio's Youth Deincarceration Leadership, a report released 2 weeks ago by the Juvenile Justice Coalition of Ohio. Erin Davies, the Executive Director of Ohio's JJC, joins us to talk about the findings in the report, including what actions contributed to Ohio's youth correction spending being cut almost in half since 2008. Welcome, Erin.
Thanks, Lauren.
So it's nice to have you back on Quick Take Ohio. I think this is the first time you're appearing in your new role. You became JJC's executive director about 16 months ago. So why don't we start with some background on the Juvenile Justice Coalition for those not familiar with the organization?
Sure. And thanks for having me on again. This is great. The Juvenile Justice Coalition has been around since 1993, so we're over 20 years old, and it was previously an all-volunteer organization. And I came on about 18 months ago, last August, as the first full-time employee for the organization. And the JJC really focuses on youth in the juvenile justice system at all points of their contact with the court. So from prevention all the way up to involvement in adult court. And we do this both individually with our organization and in partnerships with other organizations across Ohio.
Great. And just so that our listeners understand, the JJC is sort of a network of coalitions, of state-level coalitions across the country that are focusing on improving lives for youth. So let's turn to the report. The Bring Youth Home focuses on deincarceration of youth and its outcomes. When you use the term deincarceration, which could be kind of a mouthful, what is covered under that umbrella?
Sure. So deincarceration includes this idea of really moving youth who are involved in the court system out of locked residential facilities. And in Ohio, we actually have a couple levels of these facilities, including detention, which is pretrial, community correctional facilities, which are post-adjudication or post-conviction, but more locally based. And then we have three large correctional facilities. And the research has really shown that holding youth in these locked residential facilities is really expensive and is relatively ineffective in working with youth. The research has really shown that community-based programs can be more effective, even for high-risk youth, and way less expensive.
And so the research you're talking about has really been on some of these programs that have contributed to the reduction of youth being sent to state correctional facilities, including what is known as Reclaim. And since its pilot in 1994, Reclaim has been reconfigured over the years, you know, how it works, which counties get it, including formula and competitive versions. And it can be very specific and complex. And if you're not working directly in juvenile justice field, it may be a little bit overwhelming, but your report does focus a lot on that. So I want to talk about, what do you really want people to take away from this report? Because I think it's suited for many different audiences. So if you were working or speaking to a legislative audience, what would you say to them? What are the takeaways?
Yeah, so I think you kind of hit the nail on the head in that Ohio's programs are actually pretty complicated. We have five different programs that have been in place since 1980, essentially, including the Youth Services Grant, that all are targeted towards getting youth out of these locked residential facilities. And so I think over the years, the way that Ohio has really evolved its programs is a couple things. First, we've moved more towards using research and evidence-based programs. So Reclaim is a formula-based program where courts get a certain amount of funding based on how many youth they're able to keep in their communities versus send to their correctional facilities. And so for those program, there's really no link between the funding and the outcomes of those programs. And there's kind of three programs after RECLAIM. They're called the Behavioral Health and Juvenile Justice Initiative, the Targeted RECLAIM Program, and Competitive RECLAIM. And each of those last three programs really focus on using evidence-based programming and tracking outcomes for kids to see if we're maximizing the outcomes that we can receive. I also think that those last three programs, there's a lot of direct technical assistance provided to counties. So counties do an analysis of their population and kind of what their population looks like in the court system and matching them to the best programs that will help to address those youth needs. And so I think that technical assistance component is really critical to make sure that courts have feedback and help in getting the right youth matched to the right program. I also think we've really moved in Ohio more from a offense-based, so what the youth is charged with, assessment to a risk-based assessment. So not necessarily what the youth is charged with, but what their risk level is and kind of responding based on the youth's risk instead of the offense.
And the report does outline the common themes to for success that states, other states can build upon. Are there some takeaways or highlights that you want the general public to get from the report?
Yeah, so the I think this is kind of always a shock to the general public. So each year in Ohio, incarcerating one youth in a juvenile correctional facility costs about $205,000 per youth per year, which is the equivalent of 9 years undergraduate education at Ohio State University. And so I think those numbers are pretty shocking to folks. And the alternatives, we've actually really spent a lot of time being thoughtful and developing really positive alternatives for youth in counties where kids can be kept at home while keeping the community safe and get programs that better match to areas that they may need, like mental health or substance abuse services, that keep communities safe not only in the short term but also over the course of the youth's life and create better outcomes for them at a cost that's a fraction of incarceration. So, for example, the Behavioral Health and Juvenile Justice Initiatives, those programs serve youth at a cost of about $160,000 less than incarceration and have much better outcomes than youth who are incarcerated in terms of long-term reoffending. So I think we really have to make this conscious decision to reinvest in communities and keep youth closer to home.
Mm-hmm. JJC has received a lot of state and national coverage of this report. For example, you had a spot on the front page of the Cleveland Pain Dealer. You had stories covered on local TV news stations, NPR, and the Huffington Post. So kudos to all of that.
Thank you.
What has changed in the climate that garners this kind of interest?
Yeah, I think this area is really an area nationally that's garnered a lot of bipartisan support. I think folks are really seeing that we can shift our dollars in the state to support youth and really get them connected to programs that are less expensive and more effective. And I think that becomes really hard to argue against at some point. And all these broader coalitions are forming. I think also there's been a kind of steady trickle of support for these efforts, including with the Children's Law Center's lawsuit that's garnered attention over the years. So I think in Ohio, we've really been focused on this issue for a long time, and this report just kind of summarized all of that work that's come to fruition in one spot. And we're ahead of other states in this. We really have made significant efforts in Ohio. We're a national leader. We've really been creative about keeping youth out of these facilities. And I think other states are really eager to learn from that.
Well, you said, you know, we are ahead of other states, but that doesn't mean the work is done. I know JJC has developed a list of 13 principles to guide its work. So based on those principles and maybe the findings in the report, what would you like to see happen next in Ohio around juvenile justice?
Yeah, and I think actually the climate in Ohio has changed pretty significantly. We've actually seen a lot less bills that would encourage the incarceration of youth, so really moving away from this tough-on-crime to a smart-on-crime approach. So we've seen lots of those tough-on-crime bills, but I think we're still needing for our policymakers to start putting forward creative ways to really keep pushing Ohio to serve youth the best that we can, which in turn helps keep our communities safe. So, for example, right now there's some legislation pending that would address keeping youth who are truant from school in school instead of referring them to the court system, and also keeping youth who may be subject to school discipline policies in school instead of subject to out-of-school suspension and expulsion. So I think overall it's really this idea of helping to serve youth, figuring out what they need and how to address that in their community. And so there's certainly some more efforts that we could do also within our de-incarceration programs, like moving more towards evidence-based decision-making, making those programs more collaborative, and really making sure that technical assistance is getting to every county. So I think those two things would really help move us even further along.
Terrific. Thank you. And for our audience, who I really highly encourage you to read this informative and beautiful report, you can find it on JJC's website at jjohio.org. Erin, is there any final thoughts you want to share?
No, thank you so much for having me on.
Well, thank you for being on. And thanks to all our listeners. See you next time.